Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did our Sovereign die. I tell you what, I thank the Lord that we have a salvation through Him. I think of us and how in our own greatness, when we look upon ourselves as someone who we think is great, what a failure, even in our greatness, we are. If we had to have our own salvation in our own hands, how terrible that would be. How terrible that would be. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, I hope you brought a Bible to church this morning. We're going to be looking at some Scriptures today. Many Scriptures. We won't be looking at each one of them a long time, but we're going to be looking at some Scriptures. The whole premise of my message today is going to be search the Scriptures. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of John, and in John, in chapter 5, we're going to go to a Scripture here this morning where the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is going to give us some instruction for our own benefit. And not just the benefit of those who were at His day and time, but even to us today. If you'll take your Bible to the book of John in chapter 5 and verse 39, the Scripture says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them think ye..." I'm sorry. "For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ Himself. He didn't say, "Now listen, I'm telling you something, and just take my word for it." He said, "Listen, I'm telling you something. Go and search the Scriptures out so you can know for yourself that the words I say, they testify of me." Now I want to say this morning, my opening thought and the idea behind this message that I had was in our current state and day and time where we have so many different religious sects or religious religions. There's so many different ones. There's even in the Baptist or the Protestant realm, we have so many different groups. Then you have the Catholics, and then you have Muslim and Buddhist and Hindu and all the different things. And then you have a religion who says there's no religion at all. We're atheists. But that in itself is a religion. There's so many different things out there. How do you know? How do you know, and where is your faith in, and what can your faith be in to give you peace in your heart toward your Creator? I was reading some stuff. There's a research group called Pew Research. And they did some research on religion, and they said 16% of all Americans age 18 to 80 are unaffiliated with any religion. Those groups would include atheists, agnostic, and nothing. We just don't have we have no religious affiliation at all. Out of everybody in America, you're talking about 350 million or thereabouts people, you're talking about 16% of them choose to say we want no affiliation with any religious group at all. Of that 16%, 12% say nothing. You have about 1.5% which are atheists, and about 2.5% which are agnostic. But the rest of them, nothing. We don't want to affiliate ourselves with nothing. Then you look a little bit farther into this study, and it said 5% fall into the Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, and Hindu group. Of those groups, you have 1.7% of people in America are Jewish. 0.7% are Buddhist. 0.5 people are Muslim, and 0.4 Hindu. Of these variations of different ones, because we all know that even inside of a certain sect, there's broken down. You have the Orthodox, and you have there's just so many different groups inside. But if you put them into the same category, those are the numbers you come up with. And I found amazing of the largest number which we had, 78% considered themselves Christian. They put the Catholics and the Protestants and the Judaism, people who follow Judaism, those, they put them in the same category in that ratio of the 78%. They call them evangelicals. And of that group, you would have the Mormons, the Jehovah Witness, the, let's see here. Protestants, the Catholics, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, and the Orthodox group. Of this 78% Christian, I'm putting Christian in like this because Christian in my mind means Christ-like, believers in Jesus Christ. And when I refer to someone as a Christian, I'm referring to someone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They know Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They realize He came and died for their sins, and that salvation is by grace through faith. The Roman Catholics do not believe that. They believe you have to keep the sacraments. They add to the grace of God, they add to the gospel a portion to be on man and man's work. So of all the reported people who they spoke to, how many of these people, of the 78%, can we say, no, their salvation comes from the Word of God? If you start looking at if you start breaking this poll down, and you start breaking it down to what they believed and how they believed and how many were very devout, how many were just family associated, the numbers were astounding. With all the fuss and confusion over who's got it and who's got it right, in our day and age, this can be a confusing place to be. But you don't have to be confused. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to go through life hoping you got it right. We've been left a testimony and a testimony of Jesus Christ in His Holy Bible right here. That tells us of Jesus Christ. And it tells us of the gospel of God, which is Jesus Christ. We don't have to wonder. Today, I'd like to show you in the Bible, if I can, I'd like to lead you to certain places in the Scripture where you can, by your own searching of the Scriptures, you can judge within your own heart and in your own mind, do I have salvation? Do I know Jesus Christ? John 5:39 says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And I want to tell you something this morning. You can know you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord by reading the Scriptures. And all of us, I want to say this. This is something that's confusing for some people. Some people look at others and they go, well, this is a great man of God. This is a great servant of the Lord. They live such a special life. I want what they have. And they look to your life to see what you do and what you don't do. They look to see what you believe and what you don't believe. But they don't have it for themselves. They don't have that peace that you have. Because they're looking to you rather than to the author and finisher of that peace. And He's the only one who can get it. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Now, I'd like to take 3 points this morning and show you as quickly as I can, but I want to be thorough. I want to show you in the Scriptures and the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. And then I want to take it to the New Testament and I want to show you Jesus Christ. And then I want to take you and let you search your own heart and see if you can't find Jesus Christ. The first place I'd like for you to turn is in John in chapter 5, just one page over. John chapter 5, and just a few verses down from where we were. In verse 46, Jesus continued to say, I'll read verse 39 through 47 here, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For ye had believed Moses, ye would also believe in me. For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? I want to tell you something. If you can't take this Bible for exactly what it is a testimony of Jesus Christ. If you can't believe the things that are written herein, my testimony and my preaching isn't going to mean nothing. Because all my preaching and my testimony comes from the Word of God. It amounts to nothing. If you can't believe what the Scriptures say about Him, what will you believe? Will you believe another gospel? Will you believe another man's testimony? What do we have? We only have the Scriptures. Is all we do have. Moses wrote of me, he said in verse 46. And I want to take you and let you see some things that Moses wrote of him. And then if you turn back a few pages to John in chapter 1. In the book of John, just a few pages back, in chapter 1, and verse 43, Jesus Christ has revealed Himself. John the Baptist here has revealed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and Jesus is looking for disciples here, and it says here, the following day, Jesus would go forth in the Galilee and findeth Philip and say unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Let me tell you something. These brethren understood and knew that Jesus Christ was that man that was prophesied of in the prophets and in the law. So I want to show you, if they could see that, we can see that. It's not a hidden thing. It's not a secret. If you'll take your Bible, go back to the beginning in Genesis. We're going to start in Genesis and work our way forward. And I'm going to, like I said, we're going to be looking at some Scriptures this morning. But I want to be thorough that you might not be confused or might not have any misunderstanding of the Scriptures when the Lord says, search the Scriptures. Genesis. And chapter 49. Genesis in chapter 49. We're going to be looking in the Old Testament here. Genesis 49 and verse 10. We have here, Jacob has called his sons together. He's dying. And in his dying words, he gives prophecy of the tribes of Israel and what's going to become of them. And he speaks of Judah. And verse 10, he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. That is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and his coming, and him being the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We have prophecy in Genesis, in chapter 49, and verse 10, as a beginning of the explanation of Jesus Christ. If you just turn a few books to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers in chapter 21. We'll see here Jesus Christ again. And Numbers and chapter 21 and verses 8 and 9. Or we'll start in verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord, and he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I want to say to you this right here. This is a type of Jesus Christ right here. Jesus Christ said, "If I not be lifted up and draw all men unto me." We sing a song, "Look to him and live." Why? It is the man Christ Jesus who was God in the flesh, who died on the cross. And if we'll come to him with full faith in our heart that he is the Son of God and that his blood paid the atonement of our sins, we can look to him. We can live with everlasting life through Jesus Christ. No doubt this is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ right here in Numbers. And Numbers in chapter 21. Turn to the Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 18. Deuteronomy in chapter 18 and verse 5. Verse 3. "And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer sacrifice, whether it be of ox or sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. The first fruit also of thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shall thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of thy tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever." I want to say this right here, the typology of the priest. Jesus Christ came, and he was the priest. He was the high priest who made the sacrifice. Not only was he the sacrifice, but he was the high priest. The Bible says that he entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he put his own blood on that mercy seat. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he sanctified all things in heaven and in earth by his sacrifice. He's the high priest. We have an example here. He said he set it up this way that we could see in the books that Moses wrote. The Lord, he said, they searched, and in the books of Moses and in the prophets they saw the Lord. Well, let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to a prophet Isaiah. We'll see if we can see the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 7. In the book of Isaiah in chapter 7, we'll start in verse 14. "Wherefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings." That was a prophecy right there. This is prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brethren, the Old Testament will reveal, if we search the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Isaiah in chapter 53. Isaiah in chapter 53, in verses 1 through 5, we read this right here. Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I want to tell you something right here. Isaiah tells us and says Jesus Christ was crucified. And with his stripes, Brother Ron, we're healed. By his shedding of blood, we're also told that it pleased the Lord. It pleased God in heaven that Jesus would suffer for our sins. Let me tell you something. If you don't already know, you are a sinner. And you are abhorred of God because of your sin. Jesus Christ came and died so he could take the punishment of your sin where you don't have to take it. He took it for you. You don't have to die in your sins. Jesus has already done that for you. You can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's turn over a few books to the book of Micah. We're looking in the prophets now. He said it's in the books of Moses and the books of the prophets and the book of Micah. We're going to read here in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Let me tell you something. There's only one who's of old and of everlasting, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it was with God. Hey, Jesus Christ is that Word. Let me tell you something. In Micah here, he tells us of Jesus Christ. Not only in Micah, but if you go to Zechariah. And Zechariah in chapter 9. In Zechariah in chapter 9, in verse 9, the Bible says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Let me tell you something. Don't you remember when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem? Don't you believe, brethren, the people of this day and age when Jesus was speaking to them, they didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. And they studied and read and they put their hope and faith in the things they read. And so when they see Jesus coming riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt, with his bright men, let me tell you something. They had to think in their mind, hey, is a prophet. Right here before our eyes. The Old Testament speaks of Jesus Christ. I want to say this right here. Please turn to the book of Luke. We're about to come to the New Testament, but I want to show you something in the book of Luke real quick. Luke in chapter 24. In the book of Luke in chapter 24. Verse 25, this is Jesus speaking. He says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Here the Lord is walking down the road with two of the brethren and men. They're walking down the road and the Lord says to them, oh, how could you believe all these things? And he speaks to them concerning the scriptures, all that the prophets and all the things that were referenced to him. Let me tell you something. He pretended, hey, I'm going to go farther. He said, oh no, come with us.
And then he revealed himself to them later on. I want to tell you something. This scripture and this Bible is all we got.
There is no second revelation. There is no third revelation of the truth. All we have is the scriptures right here. And if we don't put our faith in what the scriptures tell us, we have nothing. I can't conjure up some other faith, Brother Ron.
I can't make up something because I want to make it easier for you. I can't help you in your unbelief. All I can do is give you the Word of God.
And you'll have to decide in your heart whether you want to believe it or not. Now, we looked at some scriptures in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Jesus Christ. I want to take a few minutes and look at the New Testament. If you take the Bible and turn to Matthew in chapter 23. Matthew in chapter 23. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. I apologize. Matthew in chapter 2, in verse 23, the Bible says this right here. And he came, speaking of Joseph and his wife, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by who? The prophets. And he shall be called a Nazarene. Let me tell you something. In the New Testament, we find prophecy being fulfilled and explained that this is Jesus Christ and he's foretold he was going to come. Here in Matthew in chapter 2, we see here that he gives us an explanation why Joseph did what he did. Now, he feared the king that he might be killed. And he went aside, but even in his going aside, he fulfilled the prophecy that was given unto him. Let me tell you something. Let's turn back to the book of John real quick. And in John, in chapter 6. I know we're going to a lot of scriptures this morning. But brethren, I don't know how else to build your faith. I don't know what else I can tell you besides what the scriptures say. What more can I do? Shall I add to the Word of God? Will I build and say some grand thing? It is the Word of God. There's nothing higher. John, in chapter 6, I'd like to take a look at verses 33. I want to say this right here. In the New Testament, he shows us this right here. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now you have to understand, he just fed a bunch of people. And he went across the Sea of Tiberias. And when he came back and said, all these people are looking for him. They wanted to be fed again. But he said, hey, I'm going to give you some bread. Not what you're looking for. I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ himself. And the New Testament shows us, he is the bread of life. If you look in verse 48, he says, I am that bread of life. He makes it really clear. He wants them to understand. I'll give you something that'll give you eternal life, not just some bread that'll suffice you for a day or two. I am the bread of life. I am that way of eternal life. In verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I want to tell you this right here. He just told you, when he gave himself on that cross, when he gave and sacrificed his body on that cross, he gave his body for yours. And he can give you eternal life because he can give you the bread of life. He gave himself to be that bread of life. I want to say this right here. And John in chapter 4, if you go back one or two chapters here. And John in chapter 4, we want to take a look at something else. Not only is he the bread of life. And John chapter 4, and verse 10, Jesus is at the well, speaking to the woman at the well. And he says unto her, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which hath given us the well, and drank therefore himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give to him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to say this right here. Not only is he the bread of life, he's the living water. He shows of himself, and he says of himself, I am the bread of life. I am the living water of life. I'll give you a well of water that'll never dry up. And John in chapter 7, turn over a few pages. John in chapter 7 and verse 37, he says this right here. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to say this right here. Verse 39, But this spake he of the Spirit by which they believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified. I want to say this right here, brethren. He's not only the bread of life, he's the living water. And he can tell you himself. This isn't somebody else's version. This isn't somebody else's perversion. This isn't somebody else's rendition. Jesus is speaking of himself. He is the bread of life. And he is the living water. I want to say this right here. And let's go to Psalms 36. Let's back up for just a minute here. Psalms chapter 36. And let's get a little bit more enlightened if we can. Psalms 36. And verses 8 and 9 say, They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and they shall make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Let me tell you something. In Psalms here we read, he says, not only is he the river of life, but in his light you will have light. You aren't going to get any light unless you get it from Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. And I want to say this right here. He's the light of the world. John in chapter 9. Just one chapter over from where we were. John in chapter 9. I want to look at verses 4 and 5. He says this right here. I must work the works of him that sent me. Speaking of his Father. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want to say this right here. Don't you remember that word, I am? That came from the Old Testament. I am that I am. He was the burning bush. When Moses walked up and the voice said, to take off his shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And he said, well, Lord, who are you? I am. He said, I am. He said right here, we just read right here, he says, I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let me tell you something, they're one and the same. They're one and the same. He's trying to reveal himself to you. He's trying to show you who he is. And I think I quoted to you John 1:1. But let's go back there for just a minute. In John, in the first chapter of the book of John. John 1 and verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. Verse 4, In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might what? Believe! He's the light of the world! We're supposed to have our belief through Jesus Christ. We've seen it in the Old Testament. We're looking at it now in the New Testament. And in John in chapter 8. We're almost done with the New Testament. We're fixing to look at something else here. In John in chapter 8, and verse 12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This is Jesus Christ testifying of Himself. It isn't that confusing. It's not that hard to find. If we'll search the Scriptures, we can think we have eternal life. We can know we have eternal life. I want to say this right here. If you turn back to the book of Isaiah one more time, we're going to look here maybe at a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6. "And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore them and preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." I want to tell you something, brother. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the river of life that springs forth out of us. And He is the light of the world. People say, "Have you been born again? Have you seen the light?" They're speaking of this right here. The awakening of your soul to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you seen it? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the truth of the gospel? He says, Jesus tells them in John in chapter 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures. For in them think ye have eternal life. And they," speaking of the Scriptures, "are they which testify of me," speaking of Himself. I want to say this right here. He gave us the Old Testament. We've got the New Testament. And we looked at a bunch of verses just in those few minutes. We looked at a bunch of verses. Let me tell you something. If we can't and don't have confidence through the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He has made Himself a sacrifice for us, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We can't get to heaven on our good works. We can't get to heaven on our good looks. I'd be in big trouble. Brother Clint would be in really big trouble. We had to get to heaven on our good looks. We'd be in a world of hurt. It can't be something of our own selves. It's got to be something that's free. Because if we had to buy it, somebody wouldn't be able to afford it. If we had to earn it, somebody wouldn't be able to earn it. It's got to be a free gift. And it is a free gift. Jesus Christ came and gave Himself to die for us one time for all mankind. If we'll believe, we can have it for free. If we'll believe. I want to look at this right here. We looked in the Old Testament for Jesus Christ. We looked in the New Testament and found Jesus Christ. I want you to do something. I want you to look in your own heart. I want you to look in your heart. In Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 29... And in Jeremiah 29, I'd like to look at this. Let's look in our hearts. In verse 13 of Jeremiah 29, the Bible says this right here. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures." I want to tell you something. When you, in your heart, aren't satisfied with your religion, and you aren't satisfied with your good work, and you aren't satisfied with your family status, when you search the Lord with your whole heart, you can find Him. But you're going to have to be honest. And you're going to have to search with your whole heart. It ain't going to be easy. You're not going to accidentally find the Lord.
You're not going to just fall into heaven one day and just make it when you die. No, it's going to be something you search for. It's going to be something you desired and wanted, and the Lord will give you.
But He says with your whole heart, you're going to have to search Him. I want to say this right here. In Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah in chapter 55. Well, let's see what Isaiah has to say about it. Now, I told you we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. And I wasn't lying. We're looking at a lot of scriptures. Isaiah in chapter 55 and verse 6. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and our God, for He will abundantly pardon." I want to say this right here. We're going to search for Him with our whole heart. And let me tell you something. We're going to have to seek after the Lord while He may be found. Let me tell you something. Right now is the best time for anybody who wants to be searching the Scriptures. Why? We have it. In America today, you can go to just about any bookstore and find you a King James Bible just about anywhere you want to. They're almost everywhere. It's not true in China. It's not true in other countries. In Iran, they'll kill you if you say you're a Christian. There are places you can go in this world today that if you carry the Bible, they would kill you for it. I want to tell you something. We live in a great country where we can open our Bible any day of the week, Brother Ron. We can walk down the road with it. We can have it on the dash of our car. We can have it at our home. Anywhere we want, we can search the Scriptures. There's no reason why in America anybody ought to be confused about who Jesus Christ is. Everywhere you go, He has showed us. And if we were to look and search with our hearts to seek Him, He would reveal Himself to us. Psalms 119. Let's go to Psalms just for a minute. Psalms 119. The biggest chapter in the whole Bible. Psalms 119. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with what? Whole heart. He's looking for those who want to serve Him with a whole heart. He's looking for those who are seeking Him with a whole heart. That means I don't have a different reason. Brother Ron was teaching this morning in the book of John. And in the end of chapter 11 and beginning of chapter 12, there were people seeking the Lord, Brother Ron. They were seeking the Lord. In fact, they told Him, "Go find Him. If you know where He is, tell us." But they weren't looking for Him because they wanted to believe on Him. They wanted to kill Him. Let me tell you something. If you'll seek the Lord with the right purpose in your heart, He'll reveal Himself to you. And you can know. Acts in chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm almost done. In the book of Acts, in chapter 8, and verse 37, the Bible says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they said, "Brother Sam, what are you trying to say here?" Well, if you read the story, Philip went to minister to this Ethiopian eunuch. And this Ethiopian eunuch was searching the Lord, Brother Ron. He had the Bible, and he had the Old Testament out. He was reading Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we read this morning. And he had been revealed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he believed. And he said, "Hey, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip says to him in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Let me tell you something. It's that simple.
It really is that simple. You have to find yourself in a place where you're lost and undone before you get saved. Nobody's born in salvation.
Nobody earns it. You don't get to a certain degree of enlightenment and then you have it.
You have to find yourself lost and undone before God first. You don't need salvation if you're not lost.
And if you're lost and you find yourself as a sinner and you find yourself standing before a holy and righteous God
who has judgment for you, you're looking for a way out. And that way is Jesus Christ.
He has paid the price for you already. If we'll search with our whole hearts and we will believe with our whole hearts. Romans in chapter 10. I'm closing. Romans in chapter 10, verse 10 says this right here. All right, let's start in verse 8. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I want to say this right here.
If we'll search the Scriptures, we can find them in the Old Testament, Brother Ron. If we search the Scriptures, Brother Chris, we can find them in the New Testament. And if we search our hearts, do we truly and are we truly trusting in Jesus Christ and the work He did and He did alone? Plus nothing. Minus nothing. And that's what our faith is in.
We can have hearts full of assurance that one day when we die
and the arm into His hands will our spirits be committed. I want to tell you something. And we can know,
not because Brother Sam said so, not because the priest prayed a prayer for you, not because somebody has got your name on a prayer cloth hanging in the wind somewhere, not because you twirled a wheel or you have some beads. It's because you trusted in the Word of God and the testimony given. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. I want to say this right here. We've covered some Scripture today. We have. It's good for us. You and I will not get another revelation in Jesus Christ. There is not another gospel. If any man or woman or doctrine or preaching comes out and says anything other than what the Scriptures you have read today, the Bible says there are another gospel and it should be accursed. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. If somebody says something different than what the Scriptures say, it's accursed. Let's turn there. Galatians. Let's go to Galatians real quick. I want you to read it with your own eyes. I want you to see it. I'm not the bad guy. The Bible's the bad guy. Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, then that which ye have preached and that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. I want to say this right here. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you do, you got it from the Scripture. Brethren, when you come to church, bring your Bible. I might get up here and get something distorted because I got my own thoughts. I better get them out of the Bible. You better be a Bible believer, not a man believer, not a man follower. We get things wrong. We get things messed up. You better follow the Scriptures of God and what they say your salvation comes by. There's no special revelation. The Bible says He's been given the Word to every man. We've all got it. Now, what will you do with it? Will you let it sit on a shelf somewhere? Will you let somebody else give you the understanding because you don't want to search it out with your whole heart? Or have you searched it out? Do you know who Jesus Christ is and what He did? And has He revealed Himself to you through the Scriptures? Jesus said, search thee the Scriptures. For in them think ye ye have eternal life. I want to tell you something. I think I got eternal life. I found it in the Bible. And you can too. We don't have to hope or wish or maybe one day if I'm good enough. We can know. We can know that we know that we know. There's no guessing about it. Amen? All right, let's stand for prayer.